What are you doing, New Year's? New Year's Eve.
Is he talking to me?
Welcome to the Next Step, the New Year's Eve edition of the Next Step. Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to the Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, and doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the Initiates Mission and is brought to you by the cool folks over at the Apostles Net, apostolic evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. So if you're ready, hey, let's wish one another a new year. But first, come on, let's take the next step. Well, let me be the first to say Happy New Year. I don't know if you're listening to it on this side of it or the other side, but we are preparing it on our regular Thursday. And of course, it is still 2009, and we are concluding the year. So let me say, if you're listening to it in the year 2010, Happy New Year. Wishing you all the best. Wishing you all the blessings and all the goodness that comes with the new year, and especially this time of year with the birth of the Christ child, with the Christ light coming into each and every one of your lives. Hey, we're going to get to that in a few minutes. We're going to be talking about a lot of things today on this podcast. We're going to wrap up the year. We're going to actually wrap up the decade. Can you believe it? You know, it has been 10 years since 1999, and we were slipping into the year 2000. Do you remember that? Do you remember? I remember it so clearly. Like, 2000 was coming, and then, you know, we had the Y2K virus on all the computers, and the airplanes were going to fall out of the sky. Seriously? I know. You probably don't remember it, or you weren't around at that time, or I don't know. You kind of like maybe wanted to forget it. But it was really, really a big time problem for a lot of folks. You know, people weren't going to fly that night, and there was airplanes were going to come down. Why? Because there was like a little digit off on the computer, so it wouldn't be able to figure out, I guess, it was 1999 or 1899. And all of a sudden you'd get shot back into the 1900s. I am not joking about this. There was all kinds of talk about the end of the world scenarios, you know, like the year 2000, as if it meant something, you know. Hey, it's just a number on a calendar, isn't it? It happens to end up with a bunch of zeros. But this year is the end of the decade. And I know, there was no year zero. So really, the new century began in the year 2001, right? So this is really not the end of the decade, but it is. This is the decade of the aughts, of the zeros. So the zeros are ending, and now tomorrow begins the decade of the tens, the teens, okay? So we're going to have like a decade, 10 years to like look at. But it doesn't matter, really. What matters is that it's just a mark in time. It gives us an opportunity to reflect. And, you know, that is important. I just saw a little presentation on CBS News this Sunday morning. It was very interesting about the value of nostalgia. That really, it gives us a sense of understanding who we are, to be able to place ourselves. I mean, isn't this one of the big problems of people who have memory loss, right? It's their ability to comprehend themselves within the entire, the entire universe, the entire life. And this is a very, very big issue now as memory loss becomes more prevalent. People reaching higher ages, life expectancy growing, and all kinds of new problems coming up. And certainly loss of memory and to be able to process really life is a big concern. It gives a lot of people a lot of anxiety and, sure enough, reason for concern. So looking back on this last 10 years, you know, what a 10 years this has been. I mean, yes, 1999 into 2000, that was a big one. But when you look at what happened in this first 10 years of this new century, and you know, 1999 was the end of not only the year, not only the decade, but it was the end of, well, the century, as well as the millennium. So 10 years ago, that little jump we made into 2000 marked a lot of endings and new beginnings. And certainly today, as we move into 2010, it's an opportunity to reflect. It's an opportunity for us to look into the new beginnings. Hey, by the way, before I forget, we get also, on top of everything else, I mean, is God good or what? We get a blue moon tonight. You know, this is the second full moon of the month of December. And from what I understand, this is not going to happen for another 19 years. I believe the last one was 19 years ago that this happened. On New Year's Eve, we're getting a full moon. So this is really something. I just hope that it clears up. It is pouring here in LA, and I mean, certainly we need this rain. But, we've got a deal. On New Year's Day, it doesn't rain in Pasadena. So we've got a deal. Did you know that? The New Year's Day, they have a deal with God, okay? It does not rain in Pasadena. In Pasadena, California, they have this beautiful Rose Parade. I'm sure you get a chance to look at it. If you come down to Pasadena, check it out or watch it on TV. But what's really neat about it is that there's this deal with God, okay? So it does not rain on January 1st. In other words, it does not rain on the parade. And in return, if January 1st ever falls on a Sunday, the city of Pasadena moves the parade to January 2nd. Pretty cool, huh? I mean, I've lived in Pasadena for almost 13 years, and I think this happened a couple times. But I remember, like, you know, this is, like, fantastic. Like, it's not supposed to rain. But I do remember my poor kid, Vadushan. He was in the USC marching band. And that year, they had to walk 6 miles from the beginning of the parade route to the end. And when he got to the end of the parade route, he was drenched. Somehow, it didn't work out. Well, I believe in the 110 or 120 years that the Rose Parade has existed, it's rained a few times. You can count them on your hands. And I believe a couple years ago, it was, I think, 2007 or 2006. Sure enough, it rained. So in this small time that I've been in Pasadena, I've got to see the parade be kicked over to January 2nd because it's on a Sunday, and I've also seen the parade get rained on. So all kinds of things I get to see, and tonight we get to see a blue moon, the second full moon. And you know how excited I get about these astronomical anomalies. Oh! Tongue twisters. I have a rough time with those, and I think I pulled it off okay. I'll have to listen to the tape. Yeah? Okay. Ken gives me the thumbs up. And whenever Ken gives me a thumbs up, I know it's okay. Hey, Ken, by the way, great picture. If you haven't checked him out, he's slumping, but we got a picture of him. He's up on our website, onepostle.net. Hey, listen, we've got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking all kinds of stuff today. We're going to be bringing together issues of Armenian Orthodoxy and issues of faith, as we always do. We've got Ani coming in with her bubbles, and as we always do, we kick off the show with a song of the day. We are going to kick it off with Mariam Matossian. Now, this is just some excellent music. We had a chance to really enjoy her last year when she gave a concert for the Inner Shoes Ministries last year in December. Here she is with, appropriately called, Noriyerk, the new song. Very appropriate for the new year. Mariam Matossian. Oh,
so glad to hear. Yeah, my whole ocean out yet get. Saturday's match to read. Yeah, my whole ocean out yet get. Saturday's match to read.
Maria Matosian. It's called Norierk. New song, and that is from her In the Light album, and that is available at any place good music is being sold, and I really tell you, go out there and get it. I mean, she's really a talent that you need to be connected with. She was nominated just recently for one of the Best Female Vocalists in Armenian Music Awards, and just an incredible voice, and let me just say, the person behind the voice is just as beautiful as the voice. And let me read to you. This is offered for our website, mariammatosyan.com. We'll put links on our site. We'll put links on our show note to her site. But Norierk, the new song. O Lord, my Lord. O Lord, my Lord, you heard my voice. You wiped away my tears one by one. You filled my hungry soul with hope. And you put sweet new songs in my heart. Let me remain close to you. That's written by Maria Matosyan. Excellent piece. And it's a nice way for us to kick off the new year, isn't it? Because, you know, with God all things are possible. And all things become new. With God, every day becomes a new year, doesn't it? Think about it for a moment. We said it last week, we were talking about the Christmas message and this whole big controversy about December 25th, January 6th. I will share with you why I call it a controversy. I know it's going a little bit too far, but it is controversial in a sense. But the idea that you have this opportunity to create new, the new year. You know, it doesn't matter if it's January 1st. It doesn't matter if it's in the middle of May or August and September, any day that you allow God to become part of your life, and equally you allow God to live in your life. You know, that was what the point that we made last week. The point is that, you know, Christmas is not about Christ being born in Bethlehem. It's about Christ being born in your life. And that needs to be born every single day in your relationships, when you reach out to people, when you go and you care for others, when you're concerned about others, when you're willing to put your hands out and let your hands take the nails and let your forehead take the sweat and the blood that it takes to give yourself and sacrifice yourself for others. That's the love that's out there. That's the love that needs to be displayed. When Jesus says, they will know that you are Christians by the love that you have for one another. They will know that you are my children. Love one another the way I have loved you. And how did he love us? Well, he put out his hands. He took those nails. He let the blood and sweat and the tears fall down from his forehead. And he did it all because of compassion and love for us. In the same way, when we do that to one another, well, that's when Christ is born. Not in Bethlehem, but in the real manger, which is our heart. And likewise, January 1st, opportunity to begin again, to start brand new. And so, Happy New Year. It's a chance for us to, well, start brand new. But it is always fun to look back to, and I don't know what you're doing right now. If you're watching, maybe you're watching the Times Square, the ball falling down. We're going to have fun today, okay? Because I don't know what you're up to. New Year's Eve is always one of those unpredictable nights, you know? You don't know if friends pop over, if you're doing something, whatever is going. If you're heading out to a party and you've got this podcast going on, well, God be with you. If you're staying at home and watching Times Square, turn down the dial. Turn down the volume on the TV. Yes, that's Dick Clark, but it's Father Vosgen's voice. Well, which one is younger? Holy moly. You know, have some fun. You know, what's going on over here? There's a lot of stuff going on New Year's. So whatever you're doing, I hope we can pass the time together talking about some of the things that are really important. Important in the sense that it defines who we are. And many times when we talk about looking at the world through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy, people come up to me and they ask, well, you know, are you really doing Armenian Orthodoxy? Is this really Orthodox faith? Well, yes, it is. Definitely it is. Because you know what we do is we put ourselves in the shoes of Orthodoxy. Orthodoxy is not something outside of ourselves. If you believe you are Orthodox, if you believe that you are coming from the tradition, then you too now are a part of that. Well, best way to look at it is think of it as a chain. A chain where there are links tying yourself to the beginning of time, tying yourself to the Christ child, not born only in Bethlehem, but in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning of all eternity, in the beginning of life itself, you are one of the links on there. And that the importance of the link is that you are connected to the chain, and you are open to the idea of having a link latch on to you, so that you will be part of the chain eventually. As you pass on, there will be new links following you. And this is how Orthodoxy gets defined. That's how Orthodoxy moves. It's not stagnant. It is ever changing. So don't make that mistake of saying Orthodoxy is all about, well, it's the traditions, it's the what's in the books, it's the saints. You're part of that whole tradition. And so you are equally as valid as everything in the past. Now, you've got to go by the rules. You've got to go by, well, what defines. You can't go out there and say, okay, I'm an Orthodox Christian, but I don't believe in Christ. Doesn't make sense, right? But you've got to be able to define yourself within the structure of Orthodoxy. Once you do that, then you've got to feel yourself a legitimate child of that faith. Legitimate in the sense that you can be that link that others latch on to. So here we are, end of the first decade of the 21st century, and you look at life and you look at all the things that have happened, and you know, I mean, this has been a wild ride. 10 years ago, we weren't talking about terrorism the way we are talking about it today. I mean, just last week on Christmas Day, there was a new bomber on one of the airplanes who had come into America and sort of scrambled up all of the security that we had in place. And it brought to forum again the discussion. And in doing that, we start thinking about how life has changed. We are giving away a lot of our liberties, a lot of our privacy issues, because we are living in different times. And this is a product of the last 10 years. 10 years since 9/11, how much has changed in our lives? Perhaps the greatest accent in change has come in the field of technology. I mean, 10 years ago, we wouldn't even talk about a podcast. I remember 10 years ago, I did the first internet broadcast of the Divine Liturgy. And I remember we used couplers. I know. Now that I think about it, it's pretty wild. You know what a coupler is? I mean, imagine a standard phone, the kind you have at home or on your desk, okay? We actually took the receiver, that portion that you put up to your ear and you talk into, and put it into a little device that changed the signal into it. It became the modem. It modulated it and it sent it out digitally. And that's how we recorded the first Divine Liturgy. That was in the year 2000 on Easter Sunday. I mean, it was remarkable, but we broadcast it. And I'll never forget one of our dear parishioners came up to me and told me how her father, 75-year-old man, sat in front of a computer on Easter Sunday, unable to get to church, but sat there and listened to the Divine Liturgy being broadcast over the internet in his home. And it brought to mind that, yes, we are changing. We are living in a different world. This is not the Apostles' Church in the sense that we're not walking around with scrolls, but it is the Apostles' Church in that we are fresh and bringing a freshness to the people. And this is what Orthodoxy is about. You are in the same stream as the apostles. You're doing the same mission as the apostles. Well, it's apostolic evangelism for what? An electronic and expanding world. The world is expanding. Yes, we call it a small world, but it's expanding. There's so many things. Every day, it's a brand new life. The idea that we didn't have podcasts. What was a podcast? We didn't have iTunes. Google was just something that was just starting out. 1999, I remember one of my parishioners, a young boy, came and said, "Dead-eyed, you've got to try this search. You can't be using Yahoo anymore." And I hung on to Yahoo for a long time because I loved all the other stuff that Yahoo gave me. But Google, today, it's synonymous with the internet in many ways. We Google people. It's become a verb, you know? I mean, it's wild. 10 years. Technology. I mean, the idea that the phone, the smartphone that you have in your pocket right now is not only probably, definitely more powerful than the desktop that you had on your desk or that you were carrying around 5 years ago. Forget about 10 years ago. And definitely that little smartphone is in many ways more sophisticated than the computer systems that were in the lunar lander. That's in 1969 when man first reached the moon. I mean, basically that little phone that you're carrying around, and you carry all kinds of stuff, and you have these apps popping up, right? These little applications, appropriately called little apps. I mean, more powerful than the lunar lander computing systems. And, you know, for a lot of us who've gone through there, who've ridden that wave, it's phenomenal. But then when you look at the new generation that's coming out, they've never seen those old things. I mean, they've never had a time when there hasn't been a computer accessible, I mean, or in your reach, let alone there hasn't been a time when it hasn't been able, you haven't been able to put it under your arm or now into your pocket. So different times. And as a church, as a community, as a people, you have to be able to speak in those times. You have to be able to flow with those times. And that means to be able to properly address the times. To be able to really say something that speaks with the times. Okay, you can't be out there in left field. Trust me, you know, sometimes you look at some of the garb and all of the stuff that goes on in Orthodoxy and we say, well, this is all beautiful tradition and we've got to bring it into the 21st century. That's fine. As long as you understand that that is a means to the end, to bring that soul to salvation, to allow that soul to be able to live a life of love, to find peace in his or her life. Look, this Sunday we had a beautiful gospel message. It came to us from the Gospel of Luke chapter 19. And it's an interesting story. Let me just give you the brief account of what the story is about. Please do read it. Luke chapter 19. Basically, Jesus says there was a man who left this town to become a king. He was going to be coronated king somewhere else. And before he left, he gives three individuals $1,000 apiece. And he says, "Take care of matters while I'm gone." And the first one takes $1,000, invests it, or he does something with it. And so when the man returns as king, this man turns to him and says, "Here, you gave me $1,000. I took it and I made $10,000 out of it." And the king turns to him and says, "You did great. You took $1,000. You made $10,000. You've been faithful with a small amount. I'm going to trust you with a larger amount. Why don't I put you in charge of 10 cities?" The second one came up to him and said, "You gave me $1,000. I took the $1,000. I invested it. And here is $5,000 in return." He says, "Great. You had a little. You did good with it. You've been faithful with a little. I'm trusting you with a lot now. You're in charge of 5 different cities now." Now the third guy, this is the interesting guy. He comes up and in his head he says that, you know, this guy, this king, he's a shrewd man. He's a ruthless man. He reaps where he hasn't sowed. He's a man who gathers where he hasn't put anything. I'm scared of this guy. So he takes the $1,000. He wraps it up in a small little handkerchief and he places it, well, someplace. I would imagine he placed it in that pocket close to his heart. You know, that pocket in your shirt, very close to his heart. And he kept it there. And when the king returned, he says, you know, I was scared of you. I know that you reap what you do not sow. He says, and so here is back. Here, I'm giving you back the $1,000. I haven't lost a cent on it. Now, the king turns to the guy and he condemns him. In fact, he calls him, he says, by your own words, you will now be condemned. But what's even nicer is that if you read one of the English translations, I believe it's the New English translation done in Oxford, he goes, you rascal, you rascal. Now, there's a word we don't use too often, but it's so appropriate. You rascal, you know that I'm a ruthless man. You know that I would look for some kind of return on my investment. How dare you? How dare you just return it to me? And so he takes the $1,000 from him and he gives it to the man who had produced the 10,000. And everybody says, hey, he already has 10,000. The guy says, to he who has, more will be given. And to he who has not, whatever he does have will be taken away. I know, this is a rough one. It's not the Robin Hood story we're used to, right? Taking from the rich and giving to the poor. This is just the opposite. Taking from the poor and giving to the rich. Like, where's the Christian message here? What's going on? Why isn't Jesus telling us the Robin Hood story? Well, here's the story on this. It's not about investment. It's not about how to invest your money. This story is about values. What do you value? You see, the third guy in the story, he valued the money. The other two saw it as a tool, saw the money as a tool, something to be used, invest, to make more, to buy them the favors that they needed. And the third guy, what he did is he valued actually the paper, the coins. So he wrapped it up in a handkerchief and he kept it close to his heart. You know, in many senses, we do the same thing. We value money. What is $1,000,000? Think about it. What is $1,000,000? Yeah, it's a lot of money. 2 million's even more. But it's a one with 6 zeros behind it. That's all. It's on paper. But $1,000,000 becomes $1,000,000. It has value when you start using it. When you buy things for your family. When you buy your children the beautiful things that they deserve. You put them through school. You give them the education that they need. When you go out and you reach out to the people who have no way of paying back, it has even more value. And so you see that if it's a tool, you've got to use it. What's a hammer? Unless it could really nail in a nail, right? It's a tool. Same way, the money is a tool. And Jesus tells us this, that money needs to be a tool. Otherwise, it gets taken away. Just like all of your talents, everything that you have. And what an appropriate story for us coming at this new year. And I bring this up exactly at this point because we were talking about things that don't change and things that do change. You know, we talked about a few minutes ago about orthodoxy. You know, the message does not change. The value is that life is yours. Whether it's dollars, it's minas, it's shekels, those things change. You could go to France and you're talking about francs. Go to England, you're talking about pounds. Those things change. Values change. But the concept that what you have, what God has given you, does not change. That concept is always there. That concept tells you that what God has given you is the greatest gift, is the most valuable of gifts. Now use it. Go out there. Change people's lives. Do something with what God has given you. And what you find is that God gives you more. He treats you like that guy in the 10,000 bracket. He puts you in charge. He lets you go out there and really touch people's lives. And I got to tell you, there's nothing more rewarding. There's nothing more rewarding than that. What are you going to do? You're going to end up with a bunch of cars, with a bunch of houses? Yeah, you could say that, yeah, it's comfortable. But how comfortable are you going to be when other people are suffering? This is what always gets me about so-called Christians who always talk about going to heaven as their number one priority. How comfortable can you be in heaven when you know that your friends and your loved ones are struggling elsewhere? What's the comfort in that so-called heaven? No, you can't think in those terms. You can't think about rewarding yourself. You've got to think about sacrificing. And sacrificing doesn't mean beating yourself. It doesn't mean living this life of poverty. It doesn't mean leading a life that, you know, is just is not fit for dogs. It means giving what you have, what God has given you. And for some, God has given the checkbook, has given a fat wallet. For others, has given the talent to be able to talk, to be able to write, to be able to play music. For others, God has given the ability to light up a life, to help other people, to bring a smile of joy to someone else's life. Find that talent level. Find that ability that you have, and then use it. Don't wrap it up inside of a small little handkerchief. Don't keep it close to your heart, because there's other people who need to get in under your heart, who need your heart. And this comes to us on this fifth Sunday of Advent. It comes to us at the end of the year. Why? Not by chance. I completely believe it comes to us as a way for us to focus. You know, you're always talking about New Year's resolutions. It's the best time to resolve new things. And usually those resolutions are, well, I'm going to give up smoking. I'm going to go on a diet. And me. I'm going to do all this stuff. Here's a New Year's resolution that every one of us can keep. Look and find the new talent that's inside of you. Look at what God has given you, and then don't be scared. Don't be scared to release it. Don't be scared to use it. Don't be scared to throw it out on people who need it, who care for it, and want it. Ah, I do get carried away with some of these things. I hope you do not have the... You do not have me as the voice of Dick Clark right now, as I said earlier. That was a nice little thing, but, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, I'd hate to be the voice as Dick Clark is talking about the ball falling down at New Year. But why not? Why not? It's not a bad thing. Okay, you're looking at the ball in Times Square. You've got this podcast going on your trip to your New Year's party. Why not? It's the message. Yes, it's the message of the New Year. Give. Give of yourself. Give of your talents. Don't be scared to take that risk. Yeah, it's the message. Speaking of messages, here is a message. The message of the decade. We, 10 years ago, no one would have thought we'd have Bubbles with Ani. But today we have, well, Bubbles with Ani.
Today's spiritual bubble is about carrots, eggs, coffee, and life. A young woman went to her mother and told her about her life and how things were so hard for her. She did not know how she was going to make it and wanted to give up. She was tired of fighting and struggling. It seemed as one problem was solved, a new one arose. Her mother took her into the kitchen. She filled three pots with water and placed each on a high fire. Soon, the pots came to a boil. In the first, she placed carrots. In the second, she placed eggs. And in the last, she placed ground coffee beans, and she let them sit and boil, without saying a word. In about 20 minutes, she turned off the burners. She fished the carrots out and placed them in a bowl. She pulled the eggs out and placed them in a bowl. And she ladled the coffee out and placed it in a bowl. Turning to her daughter, she said, "Tell me what you see." "Carrots, eggs, and coffee," she replied. Her mother brought her closer and asked her to feel the carrots. She did, and noted that they were soft. Her mother then asked the daughter to take an egg and break it. After pulling off the shell, she observed the hard-boiled egg. Finally, the mother asked the daughter to sip the coffee. The daughter smiled as she tasted the rich aroma. The daughter then asked, What does it mean, Mother? Her mother explained that each of these objects had faced the same adversity, boiling water. Each reacted differently. The carrot went in strong, hard, and unrelenting. However, after being subjected to the boiling water, it softened and became weak. The egg had been fragile. Its thin outer shell had protected its liquid interior, but after sitting through the boiling water, its inside became hardened. The ground coffee beans were unique, however. They were in the boiling water, and they had changed the water. "Which are you?" she asked her daughter. "When adversity knocks on your door, how do you respond? Are you a carrot, an egg, or a coffee bean?" "Which am I? Am I the carrot that seems strong, but with pain and adversity, do I wilt and become soft and lose my strength? Am I the egg that starts with a malleable heart, but changes with the heat? Or am I like the coffee bean? The bean actually changes the hot water. Ask yourself, which are you?" This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, Ani. Very, very appropriate, huh? Isn't that great? For the end of the year, New Year coming, doesn't matter. It's the same story. It's the same set of values. You know, which are you? Are you the carrot, the egg, the coffee? How do you react to adversity? You know, I mean, this is what it's all about. You know, when you talk about resolutions, you know, I'm going to do this and change and that. How about talking about these very fundamental changes which affect everything else, you know? Our attitudes, the way we react to adversity. This is the manner in which we define ourselves. We reach our potential. We find ourselves to be in that position to be able to take that 10,000 and make another 10,000. Or taking our talents and really using them to its fullest potential. You know, in a couple weeks, we're going to have a very special event. It's called the Martin Luther King Weekend. We do this every year. It takes place this year in Goleta, California. It is just a few miles outside of Santa Barbara on the beautiful California coast. It takes place on Martin Luther King Weekend. It is just a time that you really need to set aside for yourself. It is a retreat setting, opportunity for you to meet people, but most importantly for you to reflect and really find those little talents in your life. How you're going to react to adversity at the same time, how you're going to react to others and this responsibility to love. So I want to take this opportunity to invite you to our Martin Luther King Weekend. It takes place January 16th, 17th, and 18th in Goleta, California. It is sponsored by In His Shoes Ministries. It is the 7th annual event. I think if you've talked to anybody, and there's some chatting that goes on the internet, you talk to anybody who's been through it, they'll tell you it is life-changing in many respects. It's a time for reflection, a time to grow. There's classes. Everything's taken care of. It's a small fee. It's $150 if you register by January 10th, I believe. After that, it's $185. That takes care of your meals. It takes care of your lodging. It's a retreat setting. It's not terribly rustic, but it's a retreat setting. You will enjoy it. You will love it. And I want to just encourage you today, make plans to be with us. January 16th, 17th, and 18th, that's the Martin Luther King Weekend, takes place in Goleta, California, brought to you by In His Shoes. So go to inhisshoes.org, check it out. You can register right away. If you're coming in from out of town, you want to fly into either LAX or Burbank, and we will even make arrangements to have you picked up and taken to the center, to the retreat center, to join us for this really beautiful weekend. It's the Martin Luther King Weekend, brought to you by In His Shoes. Check it out and make reservations at inhisshoes.org. There's also another little surprise for you, and here's Susie to tell you about that one.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing, I want to take this opportunity to wish everyone a happy Advent season, looking ahead toward Christmas. I also want to take this moment to thank you for your prayers, kind expressions, and donations, which make this podcast possible. Your listenership and support has allowed us to grow and expand our ministry around the globe. The Next Step with Father Vazgen provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. As a way of saying thank you, our listeners, during this Christmas season, we'd like to send you the critically acclaimed Spirit album by Gor Mkhitaryan.
Ինչեմ ես գործել, ինչեմ ես փնտրել, ինչեմ ես գտել, ինչեմ ես ստացել, ոսկի արծաթ եւ խանգարված քուն.
For a tax-deductible donation, you'll receive this album, which has touched the hearts and souls of a new generation. Please visit our website, inhisshoes.org, and press on the Donate button. Or send a check to the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center, 632 West Stauber Street, Glendale, California, 91202. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. In this season of Advent, we look to Christ and remember that God is always with us. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին, այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին.
Of course, the Christmas she's talking about is January 6th. That's when this offer ends. So, this is a time, really, end of the year. You want to do something really special, make a difference in people's lives. Well, we know we're doing it with the Next Step. And from the reaction we're getting from throughout the world, it is really being well received. You can make a big difference in people's lives by encouraging the work that we're doing here at In His Shoes Ministries, as well as the Next Step specifically. Make a donation, and we'll be happy to send you this Spirit album. It is guaranteed. This is one album that is guaranteed to get you really in the spirit of what it really means, what the important stuff, what's really out there. Caring, loving, and helping one another. Well, with the end of the year, the end of the decade, and now, of course, the end of this podcast, it gives us a chance to reflect all the different things that have happened and some of the failures that we've had, as well as some of the accomplishments. It's always nice to look at accomplishments, to see the glass half full. But the half empty part, of course, is very discouraging. And I'm talking specifically about the situation in Darfur, the situation with wars throughout the world, the opportunities that have been granted to us with a new administration here in the United States, and the opportunities missed by not taking advantage of that newness, the newness to look for different options to peace. And so I challenge you, the listeners, the praying community, the community that's out there and is really searching for something that is more than the weapons that we're told about. The weapon of love, the weapon of compassion, the weapon that can make a difference in our lives. I challenge you to really look within your lives to the people around you. And may this new year be an opportunity for all of us to really seek those weapons that can make a difference. When we talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, or what I call Armadoxy, it's not just a faith. It's a faith that's real. It's a faith that becomes real in our actions. You know, there's that beautiful expression, he's not the kind you wind up on Sundays. God is not something that just comes into play because we go to church. God is all around us. God is inside us. God is outside of us. And God needs to be expressed in our lives. How? By having that compassion, by caring about other people, by seeking the avenues of peace. Peace is that ultimate equilibrium, and it is the wish, but more than the wish, it is really the target that I'm asking you to strive for. It's one thing to say peace on earth, goodwill to men. It's another thing to live that. Peace on earth because I am peaceful, we need to say. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. There is goodwill because I have goodwill towards others. You know, it begins with you and me. It begins with us taking responsibility for our lives and collectively the lives all around us, lives that have been entrusted to us. Just like that wealth that we talked about a few minutes ago. Not take it and put it inside of a handkerchief, but express it in everything that we do. It has been a beautiful year. It has had many, many challenges, as has the decade, as has life. Those challenges, of course, make it interesting, but it also makes it an opportunity for us to reach out, to help one another, to seek help from others. And I wish you all the best in the seeking, in reaching out, in doing what God calls you to do. I invite you to our website, inhisshoes.org. We'd love to hear from you. Grab on to one of the links that puts you in touch with us. Send us your email, your comments. Call our listener line. It's at area code 626-275-AMEN. Drop us a message over there. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to play it here on this podcast as well. Got a lot of opportunities to really plug in. This has been a beautiful time because we've also exploited technology in a way that I think that, just like the guy with 10,000, we've been able to really expand on that. And I ask for your prayers. I ask for your support so that God will multiply this and we can really increase our effort. Now, before signing off, I do want to thank everybody who makes this a possibility. I want to take this opportunity, end of the year, and it's 2009, yes, the new year, last year, end of that last year's new year. At the end of this year, I would like to thank Susie, our producer, just a wonderful lady who really puts together a mean show. And I need to say that out loud. Those of you who appreciate receiving this podcast, it comes in on your iTunes, it gets downloaded to your iPod, you receive it on your email, whatever client you have, you get this show thanks to her. So thank you to our producer, Susie, and to our engineer, Ken. Now this guy, he's sometimes rough. His little booth over there is always smoke-filled, and he gives me these mean looks, but I gotta tell you, he's a mean guy. He puts together this great show. He mixes all of the tracks, puts together the music, and then produces it for Susie's consumption, for Susie to get it out to you. Ken, thank you very much. And we do get a smile and a thumbs up from him. And of course, Ani, who is really a living bubble in many ways. She really gives us so much to think about week to week. I want to thank her and really wish her all the best as she continues to bring us these inspirations, these small little inspirations. Now, I want to thank all of you for your prayers, for your constant support, for your emails, for taking our podcast links and forwarding it to your friends, to your family members, for taking our files and moving them around the internet, for blogging about us, for mentioning us on Facebook, for tweeting about us, to all of you. May God bless you with health, happiness, and a lot of love into the new year. Next time we meet, it will be Theophany. It will be January 6th. It will be the revelation of God in our lives. It is a celebration that we will celebrate together. I can't wait. But until that time, hey, listen, have a happy new year, a very safe and healthy happy new year. And on top of that, the blessings of the Christ child being born in our lives, in the manger of our lives, may that blessing permeate and touch every aspect of your life, and God's blessings and love be with you always. Amen. We look forward to seeing you again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.